Samusano sits in his Portsmouth office, thinking about shoes. After the 83-year-old fell not long ago, he invented special insoles that could both detect a fall and then automatically summon help.
Basically, by doing this, I have become a sort of a specialist on walking.
As field testing began for the fall-detecting insoles, Asano began to wonder, could he make shoes that never slip? He turned to nature. He turned to wolves.
They can't afford to slip. And so their foot very well designed in all kinds of conditions. Water over the ice, you know, water gets sucked up by the fur. So that's my next project, copying, you know, wolf's feet.
Welcome to the mind of an inventor, or as Samusano prefers to think of it, problem solver. To tell me the story of how he became a problem solver, Asano takes me back 73 years, to the end of World War II, when his family moved from their home in Tokyo to a remote Japanese mountain village.
Because that's the safest. And there was a top secret airport in the mountain. And the Japanese Air Force was experimenting with various planes.
Sometimes, the experimental Japanese Zeros crashed. Asano would find the wreckage and sit inside the cockpit. But one day, the boy stumbled across the remains of an American B-29.
Japanese Zero plane inside, even the broken ones, are meticulously built. Beautiful. I was 10 years old, but I could see the workmanship. B-29, meanwhile, was a huge aircraft, and inside was a mess. It was really slapped together, and I was sort of amazed at how could this kind of thing fly.
It seemed impossible to the 10-year-old that a country that made such a bad airplane could ever defeat a country that made the beautiful Zero. Why Japan lost the war became Samusano's first big problem.
When a nation loses a war, they go through a huge amount of psychological recrimination. You know, they go through this terrible feeling that, how come that we are so bad?
The question haunted Asano until the age of 15, when he read that one of the early deciding factors in the war was the United States' use of radar. And when he learned that a Japanese scientist had developed radar technology in the 1920s.
All of a sudden, my sort of feeling that we were totally hopelessly inferior disappeared. So we're not inferior, but we don't manage well. We didn't choose the right path. I decided to come to the United States then, because I wanted to know if we were equally smart, then why one country push it ahead to make a product and other countries don't?
He received a Fulbright scholarship to MIT, where the last piece of the puzzle fell into place.
You know, Japan, which is very organized, almost like a crystal clean culture, and here in this country is sort of turbulent. In Japan, everything is no, unless it's absolutely yes.
In this country, he discovered, everything was yes, often when it was absolutely no.
I learned a lot by that sort of infinitely optimistic approach.
After graduating from MIT, Samusano took a job working on a project for NASA that would later become the Hubble telescope. But it was while designing an X-ray sensitive camera for the nose cone of the rocket that Asano encountered his next problem and his first invention. Before any test launch, two engineers would ascend the scaffolding towers to make last-minute adjustments to Asano's camera.
I have to call them to adjust screws and so forth. Now, the reason why I came up with the idea of fax machine is that I never understood very well what they're saying. And I said to myself, can't we just write something in a piece of paper and then show it?
Fax machines existed at the time, but they were expensive, massive, and prone to breaking. Over the course of the next year, Asano built his own version, small, portable, and simple.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss. If you don't know what you're doing, often you succeed.
Reinvention would become a pattern for Asano, along with a belief that inventors should look to their own lives to find problems to solve.
Personal problem is the best because you can live with the problem, so you can always observe it.
As he's gotten older and settled into his life in America, he's noticing ways this country's changing. The decline of manufacturing, the disappearance of people who make things.
I mean, I remember when I landed in Cambridge in 1959, Cambridge was a factory city, and there was MIT and Harvard, and in between was packed with little guys who were running machineries, you know, and all of that is forgotten.
For Asano, this means the spirit of invention itself has died.
There's a children's song in Japan called What Shall We Do with the Canary That Lost His Song? In other words, our song was the industry, and we lost it. We don't know how to sing anymore.
But Semisano was not without hope. He is still singing, he says, and he'd be happy to teach you the song. For NHPR, I'm Sean Hurley.